Howdy, folks. Doug McBurney here. The Bob Enyart Live Telethon is on again. We need $30,000 to keep Bob Enyart broadcasting for another year, so I'm asking you to help us. Give us a call right now at 800-8-ENYART. That's 800-836-9278. Or go to the kgov.com website. Click on the store. Look at the subscriptions. Take a look at all the wonderful products. Sign up for a subscription to Bob's Bible Study, the sermons from Denver Bible Church, or the Best of Bob, and get a free Bob Enyart topical video as our gift to you. Donate $100 or more, get a free video. Donate $200 or sign up for two subscriptions and get two of Bob's topical videos free, our gift to you for helping Bob Enyart stay on the air for another year. We picked the shortest month of the year, February, so we're already running out of time. So pick up the phone now. Call 800-836-9278 or go to kgov.com to make a donation, purchase a product, or sign up for a subscription today.
One warning is truth overhead. It gets beyond all the headlines you read. Don't need lip service with a wink and a nod. You
greetings to the brightest audience in the country. Welcome to Bob Enyart Live. I'm the pastor at Denver Bible Church. Today we're going to talk about the caucus. What's it like to go to a caucus? Should you go to your caucus? How it operates in Colorado? It's happening on Tuesday. But just a note, American Right to Life has released part two of their series, Pro-Life Response to Ted Cruz, part two, Regulations. So you might want to see that. That's at prolifeprofiles.com. Click on the Ted Cruz profile. I think it's very moving video. It's a great part two to the series. Okay, so to help us talk through the issue of how a caucus operates, I've gone to many of them in Colorado year after election cycle year. Well, we have the lobbyist in studio for Colorado Right to Life, Ed Hanks. Ed, welcome back to Bob Enyart Live.
Bob, thanks for having me again.
It's so great. You're the author of the fabulous book, How to Train Your Politician.
Which you have on your website.
That's right, we do. And thanks for writing that. It's a lot of fun. We've done some shows on it, so I highly recommend it to the audience.
Thank you.
In fact, they could help us with our telethon. We've raised $8,400 so far this month. Go to the store, look for How to Train Your Politician, and that'll apply toward our telethon. So, Ed, the caucus is coming up. There's so much to talk about. But, of course, in Colorado, where we are based, this Tuesday is that's the big day.
It's the beginning of the representative process for the party structure. Mm-hmm. And it's basically the beginning of the election season for Colorado. It's our first chance to have our votes heard mm-hmm. by the parties and by the candidates.
And when I've gone, you have the option of, if you go to your caucus, you might try to be elected a delegate and go to the county assembly and then also go to the state assembly. And I've done that a number of times.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but we're just going to talk mostly about going to the caucus Tuesday evening.
But before we get started, you've got some Real Science Radio news about Discover Magazine.
Oh, that's right. What a study out. Discover Magazine is reporting this. How special the Earth is, and thanks for mentioning it. We were talking about it before the show, Ed, that the Earth, and this is from the journal Astrophysics, actually the Astrophysical Journal, so it's a peer-reviewed study. It says, in the entire universe, there may be about 700 quintillion planets. That's a big number.
Really big.
That's got 20 zeros after the seven. That's a big number. 700 quintillion planets, and they ask the question, if there are that many, how many would be like Earth? Because Earth is such an amazing place for life. And the answer they came up with is one.
And that's amazing for a publication that is secular with a capital S.
Yeah, that's right. Discover Magazine, certainly they're atheistic in their outlook. And the title of their article just out is, Earth may be a 1 in 700 quintillion kind of place. In the study in the Astrophysical Journal actually says They expect that there'd be zero places like Earth, but we're here, so there's one.
What a miracle, huh?
Yeah. And, you know, that points again to God being our creator. And that's why we're fighting the battle to protect children, because God said, love your neighbor and do not kill the innocent. So here we are in America's, actually in the civil rights struggle of our day.
So in my book, I say, if you don't vote your values, you're voting for someone else's values.
Whoa.
And so this is how we represent God and represent the pro-life movement.
Whoa.
In our party structure.
What a great thing to write in that fabulous book. And so all the Christians, a lot of evangelicals, are supporting Donald Trump. And they actually say, when they're asked, are you voting your values? And they say no. And even, are you voting electability? And they say no. They're just mad.
Yeah.
You know, they're just mad. So they're actually voting someone else's values.
Mm-hmm.
And as far as Donald Trump, he's a lifelong, sort of secular-oriented, pro-abortion, pro-homosexual, socialist, singer-payer, all that.
People think they want a strong leader. Obama's a strong leader.
Yeah.
You know, he's getting all kinds of stuff done.
Yeah, he really
but
is. I mean,
it's
he got
not
Obama.
A great thing.
I hear Republicans say, Obama hasn't gotten anything done. I wish they were right. But for one, Obamacare, for one. And so he's gotten a lot done, and it's been a catastrophe. So a strong leader is way worse than a weak leader if they're both evil, if they have an anti-Christian worldview, which Donald Trump has.
And a lot of Christians, they say, I don't participate in politics because it's corrupt. I don't feel like my voice is heard. Well, you know why your voice isn't heard? It's because you don't take advantage of the opportunities that are given. Now, Colorado is one of just a handful of states, and we've heard from a lot of them just over the past few weeks, but there are maybe a half dozen states around the country that still use a caucus system. Most other countries just go to states go to a primary election. And it's not grassroots at all. The caucus system here in Colorado and in Iowa and various places is the closest to the founder's ideal, sort of a Norman Rockwell-esque neighborhood meeting where you talk politics with your neighbors and make decisions at a neighborhood level.
The word actually goes back not too far, but it seems to be based on an American Indian word for advisor. And so you get together with your neighbors. It'd be fun if it's in somebody's living room. I like that. But it's usually in a classroom at your local public high school.
Yeah.
Or a Christian school, whatever. And so you get together in every other classroom, or every classroom has a different precinct caucus going on.
Yes.
So you walk down the hall and you hear everybody talking.
Sometimes there are thousands of people roaming the halls of these high schools where they often have these events.
Looking for their precinct caucus meeting. And so the first thing really is to find out where's your caucus meeting. And that's easy to do. Colorado Right to Life has made that a piece of cake.
And so if you go to Colorado Right to Life or to your county party, or to the Secretary of State's office, they should each have ways to find out what your precinct number is, first off. And then once you know what your precinct number is, it'll tell you where your caucus is, what building.
Yeah.
And then once you get to the building on the evening, you know, of when it
it's
arrives,
Tuesday, March 1st.
Tuesday, March 1st, arrive a little early. It starts at 7. But give yourself time to find the room, because then there will be people in the hallways helping you to find where your particular neighborhood is meeting.
And again, Colorado's website, Colorado Right to Life's website, coloradortl.org. It's as simple as could be. It says, first, find the location of your neighborhood caucus meeting, and you just click on that link, and then you put in your address, and they'll give you your precinct number and your meeting location. So easy.
And so each precinct, a precinct is a political division. It usually includes about 500 people or so. And so out of those 500 people, you may find that anywhere from 5 to 25 to 100 people show up. It's a party, it's a representative process within the party. And those people getting together, they're active enough that they're willing to attend a meeting. They may not be active enough that they're willing to go beyond that.
Mm-hmm.
So there's an opportunity there to be a representative for those people in your precinct that's, you know, you may be representing 100 people if you get elected as a delegate to the county assembly. And so that just magnifies your view. You may be more discerning than your neighbors. And if you go instead of them, then you've got a discerning voice there at the...
Could I disagree with something you just said?
Sure.
You may be more discerning. This is the brightest audience in the country.
Absolutely.
I'd say forget that subjunctive mood there, maybe. You will be more... No. We need to be humble before the Lord, of course. But there is a very good chance that if you have a Christian worldview, that you will be able to know right from wrong regarding the resolutions that are discussed. And you'll be able to spot ones that are socialist, really, and others that are even pro-abortion, pro-homosexual, even anti the borders of a nation. Because God... does say in the Bible that nations have boundaries. And so, of course, liberals want to do away with national borders for their own godless agenda. But so whatever issue is brought up in a resolution, if you've been listening to this program for a while, if you've been reading your Bible, going to church, you should be building a solid Christian worldview, and you'll be able to be a good influence. And if you're scared to death to speak in public, at least you could vote no on a bad resolution.
Exactly.
And vote yes on a good resolution. That's really easy to do.
There's always the opportunity. You know, having a voice isn't just supporting a candidate or supporting a resolution. It may be opposing stuff that is appalling to us. Mm-hmm. And Bob, your listeners are valuable. And we don't want your listeners staying home and deferring to some, you know, Rubio or Donald Trump or even Cruz fanboy or fangirl who really doesn't know why they're supporting this person, but it's just what Fox News tells them to.
Yeah, right, right. And so right now, Ed, you know, you say, do you have a dog in this race? I don't right now. I pray that God will help me use this moment in time to teach more people, do not compromise on killing children. I mean, that should be a no-brainer. That should be where we start our understanding of governance and politics. But it's not today. And it's our Christian leaders who don't know what it means to not compromise on killing kids. So our first goal is to teach them and everyone else we can at the same time.
Yeah, my goal at every level of the elective process is to hold to a standard, and if the candidates meet the standard, then that's great. If they don't, then that's where I withhold my vote. That's where I value my vote enough that I'm not going to give it to someone who doesn't deserve it.
Well, and so we have that opportunity this Tuesday. And by the way, since we said that if you go to coloradortl.org, the website, and click to find the location, I did that. I clicked while we're talking. All I have to do is put in my address, and they say, well, is this you? Is this really your address? Yeah, that's me. And that's it. You're pre-registered. You just do fill in the blanks. You know, it's so simple.
So once you get to the caucus, there's a process and a procedure. You will first be asked, there may be a different process in each county, but in most caucuses, you may be asked if you want to be a precinct committee person. Now, that's an important position. It holds a lot of authority and a lot of power. It also involves, ideally, a lot of work. If you're not willing to do the work, then you're not much value. But at the same time, since our listeners are more discerning, it may be that, you know, you end up not doing what the party establishment wants you to do, and that may be more valuable in the end.
They might ask you to walk your precinct and hand out this literature. And so what I've done in the past is I get literature from Colorado Right to Life, and I include that.
Mm-hmm.
Or I, you know, you discern, like you said, more discerning. How can I use this opportunity to share with my neighbors the truth about what is right and what is wrong?
And then the second part of the process is resolutions. And, you know, the caucus is a representative process. And you can be elected to go to higher levels of the process. That same thing happens with resolutions. This is how the party builds its party platform, from the very lowest grassroots all the way up to the national level. Mm. And so Colorado Right to Life has a resolution that you can take to your caucus this year.
Oh, yeah, and it's so easy to get. Again, you go to the website, coloradortl.org, Right to Life, coloradortl.org, and you could read the resolution. It's one sentence. It's simple. You know, God's law is simple. Thou shalt not murder. It's one sentence. Well, Colorado Right to Life's resolution, it's right there. And if you click on the word printout, you'll get a printout. And it's just a sheet of paper with this one sentence on it. And it says, be it resolved by Colorado Republicans that every human being deserves legal protection from conception through natural death. So
that's a great statement. And these resolutions that we've been putting forward are generally accepted by the Republican voters at these caucus levels and the assembly levels and even up to the state level and the national level. Mm-hmm. And so that's how we get our views across. Mm-hmm. And that's how we tell our candidates what we expect from them.
Mm-hmm. And it really is easy. While you and I have been talking, I clicked on, you know, find the location. And I also printed out this form from the Colorado Republican Party. It's got my name, my address. And here is the location of my caucus. I won't read it on the air, but that's where I go. It's about 6 blocks from my house. And then I printed out from Colorado Right to Life's website the single sentence resolution. So I bring this paper, the sheet of paper, to the caucus.
Yes. And it may you may end up giving it to the chairman, and it may become a part of the record. They may write down how many votes the resolution got, and then that gets kicked up to the county level.
And maybe I'll bring two copies so I could give him one and keep one, because then sometime at some caucus they might say, does anyone want to offer a resolution from the floor, from your desk, your high school desk, and you could just read it, the single sentence,
mm-hmm.
then people will vote on it, or you hand it to the guy who's in charge of the meeting, and he may read it.
And there may be discussion about the resolutions. You may be asked to defend this resolution and explain why people should vote for it. And if we can get through this quickly enough, we'll turn to some objections to this sort of language that we hear sometimes.
Yeah, yeah.
So the next level, the next thing that they do in the caucus is they will vote for delegates. And you may have candidates come into the caucus and speak to you. And that's your opportunity to ask hard-hitting questions and find out where they really stand on things that matter.
Like here, let's see, in western the Denver metro area, there's a Laura Woods.
Mm-hmm.
She's been strongly pro-life.
Yes.
So she might show up at your caucus if you're in Jefferson County and say, hi, I'm Laura. Please remember to vote for me. Please support me.
And the people who are on our side, it's important to just get that feedback from them to make sure they haven't squished out and they haven't changed their mind. But also, if you're not familiar with a candidate, or if it's a candidate who you happen to know isn't quite on your side, then this is the way that you expose to the rest of your neighbors that they are not fully pro-life or, you know, whatever it is.
Now, one of our church members, Denver Bible Church, went up to Laura Woods to find out what's her real position. And he asked the question in a sort of a gruff way to make her think that maybe he's pro-choice, pro-abortion.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, oh, I believe you have to protect every child. He said, yeah, but how about rape or incest? And she said, well, no, you have to protect every child. And so that was Mike B. And he was impressed. And he said, wow, you know, she would have assumed I'm pro-abortion. But she answered in a godly way. So that was cool.
Yes.
Yeah.
Out of a precinct of 500 people, you may have 25 people show up, and they may have 5 delegate positions and often 5 alternate positions to elect to the county level. And so if you're elected to one of those positions, if your neighbors elect you, then you end up going to the county level representing 100 of your neighbors. Mm. That's the magnification that you get through this process of your vote.
At this caucus, you're just representing yourself.
Mm-hmm.
But at the county,
that's your opportunity to magnify your voice.
Yeah,
and that's where a discerning person is a lot more valuable to the movement, to the pro-life movement, than someone who really is just going to go with the flow.
So if you are interested in going on to the county, now it might If you are elected a delegate, it costs a little bit.
You might have to bring a little bit of cash.
Yeah, or a checkbook.
Or
I think
a check.
They take checks.
Yes.
And I don't know what it would be this year. It might be like $35 or something.
It's usually not a whole lot.
Yeah. But they might ask you, if you say I'd like to be considered to be a delegate to the county assembly, they might ask, well, which candidate are you supporting?
Mm-hmm.
So how would you answer that?
If I'm worried that my neighbors, and you know, depending on your neighborhood, you may have a lot of fairly progressive neighbors who may think they're conservative, but they're really not.
Right.
And I may just say something to the effect of, I will support candidates who are strictly pro-life, who support personhood, who understand what the Constitution means and how it should be applied, and just explain how you decide which candidate to support.
Yeah.
And they will vote for you often, knowing
that
that's how they would like someone to choose their candidates, even if that's not how they choose their candidates themselves.
Like, in other words, okay, this person is principled, and they might think, well, I'm supporting Donald Trump, and he's pro-life, so I'm going to vote for this delegate because he's pro-life. Donald Trump is not pro-life. But, so you stand up and you say the truth, of course.
Yes.
And you say that I am going to support the candidate that is pro-life and that is principled. No compromise. Every child should be protected by love and by law. And that's who I am. That's what I will do.
And sometimes you'll have even Republicans who are very angry when you express that sort of view, because there are a lot
possible.
Of especially older Republicans who are thinking that the Republican Party at one time was very pro-abortion. And so they've grown up in the party thinking, well, this is a freedom that I have to kill my child.
Yeah.
And so or you may get into a debate.
Now. Yeah. 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 And if the discussion happens, ask God to help you to be calm and have wisdom and just, but be bold.
I always pray before I go into a political meeting or anything like that, just that God would be with me and that he would give me wisdom and insight, and that, he would lead in the correct direction and, make that a valuable exchange.
And Ed, you're so much better at all this than I am.
Not at all.
That's one reason that you are Colorado Right to Life's lobbyist down at the Capitol, because you have such an ability to bring people along in a conversation and talk to them and share with them. You don't get riled up. It's just pretty neat to watch.
Well, thank you. I enjoy getting converts to the cause. And I think, we have such a weight of evidence and material on our side that if someone's willing to listen for long enough, they're going to come over to our side.
Wow. Now, I'm so bad. I'll give an example how bad I am. My mother and I mean, you're not supposed to be bad in front of your mother. We were at the Capitol in the basement at the cafeteria, and a guy in a wheelchair, probably 40 years old, he just started getting involved in politics. He said he's going to run for office, and I asked him what his views were. It's just a disaster. And he said, well, the important thing is that you have your health. That's the important thing. Because he is in a wheelchair, right? So I said, well, you think like with the Germans, the Nazis, the important thing is that they had good digestion and good eyesight. You are not qualified to govern. You're not qualified. Don't run for office. Just go home and start reading your Bible. You're not qualified.
Well, he should be careful. The Nazis guaranteed people's health by killing anyone who wasn't healthy.
Yeah, right. What a good point. So at any rate, you're much better at this than I am, Ed. So thank you for doing it.
So once you get elected as a delegate to the county level, then you'll have an opportunity to go on to higher levels. And again, this magnifies your voice. You have an opportunity to be a voice for, say, 500 people or 1,000 people. You can even be elected, and this is a presidential election year, so you can run to go to the Republican National Convention, and you will be voting as a delegate for who the nominee should be. And every time you're elected at whatever level, you become a very important person because of how many votes you're representing.
Mm-hmm.
And a candidate in a primary race in a local district may have to get only 20 votes at the county assembly in order to win the primary.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're one of those 20 people, they're really interested in getting your vote, and you have the opportunity to have access to them, which is great. You can ask those hard-hitting questions. You can discern whether they're serious or not. And, you know, just you have the opportunity to vocalize to them, to explain to them why you hold the positions you do, why they should if they don't already. And it becomes an educational process, but you have that authority. You've been granted that authority by your neighbors to have that influence on the political process, and it's, I think it's valuable.
Yeah, that's super. All right, so you said if we have time to go through the caucus, we only have about 2.5 minutes left. What do we got?
Well, let's race through some stuff. Your listeners have heard a lot about rape and incest, so probably that's one of the major objections you'll hear from fellow Republicans, and I think your listeners can probably field that pretty easily. Another one, if they, you know, if they sense that
you don't kill the baby because the father's a criminal,
exactly. And birth control comes up a lot. Does personhood or does our resolution ban birth control?
Right.
Well, you know, a personhood resolution can't ban something that doesn't kill a human being.
Right.
That's the easiest way to explain it.
Yeah.
And so if your birth control method kills a human being, then, you know, it may be impacted. But
right.
if it doesn't,
right.
then no
so
problem.
So a contraceptive is not affected at all.
Exactly.
But something that would kill the growing little boy or girl in the mother's womb, that would be affected. That
mm-hmm.
would be outlawed. Yeah.
Sometimes they'll bring up miscarriages. You know, this measure will require women who have miscarriages to be investigated. And that's just hogwash.
Yeah.
You know, number one, personhood would put things back to how they were before 1967 when abortion was illegal. And you didn't have investigations of women who had miscarriages back then.
Right, right.
And you won't have them these days.
Right. Now, we have quite a few states that your child abuse, if you have a baby and the baby is addicted to crack cocaine, they will automatically start an investigation, a child abuse investigation.
So and that's appropriate.
That is
appropriate. But that happens today.
That happens today in a number of states, not all states, but
mm-hmm.
in many, dozens of states. But anyway, yeah, in one more minute.
Sometimes they will say this won't stop abortion because of Roe v. Wade. Personhood actually goes around Roe v. Wade or has the potential to.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it can supersede Roe v. Wade. That's
yeah.
the great potential here.
Mm-hmm.
And then also they say that it may set our movement back in the courts because personhood might be defeated by the Supreme Court. That's not what personhood is about. Personhood is a mass movement of public opinion, and as we saw with slavery, if the public is against something, it doesn't matter in the very end
what
the courts say.
It doesn't matter what the courts say. Human rights movements make courts irrelevant, make bureaucrats irrelevant. And that's what this needs to do in order to stop the killing. So, Ed Hanks, thank you so much. What an honor to have you at Bob and Yurt Live.
Thanks for having me.
You're very welcome. So that's Colorado Right to Life's website. Find out where your caucus is on Tuesday and to bring a printout of the resolution. And our website, KGOV.com. We need your help. Our goal is 30,000 this month. Please help. May God bless you.